Lord, help us now to focus on a message that is quite simple in many ways, and yet, please, will you stir us? And Lord, may the words I speak be, as your word put in front of us here today, be the very words of God, that you will speak to us as we look at your word, as we think it through. Lead us by your Spirit, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're familiar, I think, with this kind of scene. There's an investigation room that's set up. There's an investigation into some kind of incident. It's often a crime. In the room, there's a large sort of board or a wall. And on that wall, a bit like on this picture here, are all of the bits of information about it relevant to finding out what happened, how it happened. So what are the things that are on that sort of wall? They're persons of interest. They're places and times, records of conversations, aren't they? Of what happened, of why it happened, as people share things. Links are then made between all of these different elements. The thread joins one thing to another, connects them into either the background or the timeline of what happened and when it happened, or the motive. Why did this happen? A complex web of relationships and places and events and conversations related along a timeline with threads linking various parts to others, putting together a story. A story wall. So with that idea in mind, a story wall, think about this thing. This is the thing that happened. Someone came to Christ in faith. Someone was saved. Someone put their trust in Jesus, they became a Christian. That's what's being investigated on this story wall. Now, what would that wall look like? What would be on there? Well, it would be the same things, wouldn't it? It would be persons of interest who did and said certain things. It would be points on a timeline, things that happened in that person's life at a particular time. Small things. There'll be heaps of these things. There'll be small things. There'd be much bigger influential things. But each and every one of them is part of the story. Now, many of us here are professing to follow Jesus. We've put our trust in Jesus Christ to save us for all eternity. We found life in him. We love Jesus. And so, as you think about this story wall thing, think about your story wall. What does your story wall look like? Who's on there? What things would be on there? And as you think about that, maybe consider also where you might appear on someone else's story wall. Because you might be part of someone else's story too. Now, I hope that that helps us to think about serving in the church. This focus on serving, which is our focus today, our serving as the Church of Jesus Christ, directed by Jesus, to be obeying what Jesus told all of his disciples, his followers, that's what disciple means, to do, go and make new disciples who will also grow into disciple-making disciples of Jesus. The call of service from Jesus is always towards this great work of his of salvation in this world. And our Bible passage really helps us, I think, to understand that, doesn't it? Very simply, or at least be reminded of why we serve and how we serve, even as we celebrate serving today. So, first point, why we serve. I mean, why we do anything is a question of motivation, isn't it? And what Peter sets out here in 1 Peter 4 are what should drive our motivation. There's a few pieces to consider here. The biggest one is this, and it's at the end of the passage. He kind of builds up to it, and it's this, that we love God. Why do we serve? Because we love God. Verse 11, having talked about serving, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We want God to be glorified because we love him, because he's great. When we serve in the way that we should, God is praised. That is both what we want to happen, but it's what should happen because of who God is. God is so good, and we love him, and we praise the things we love, don't we? We should. We love God, of course, because he first loved us. And our response, serving is a response, it's a loving response when we see how he has loved us. Serving is loving when it's done with the right motivation. Don't we, in our sort of thinking about love, we've heard of the five love languages. Nod your head if you heard of the five love languages. Or some of you have, some of you really have. One of them is acts of service. It's a way of showing love. God's people love God with their serving. They really love God. How does that look? Oh, it's no bother to do this. I love you, Lord. This will be challenging for me, Lord. But I love you. I'm going to give it a go. Of course I can. I love you, Lord, because you love me first. You demonstrated your love to me in this. While I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. I love you. Of course I can do that. Romans 12, that was Romans 5. Romans 12, in view of your mercies, Lord, to me, I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. And so God may be praised through all we do, all I do. That's a prayer, isn't it, for the start of every day? May you be praised in everything I do. And it's a huge motivation for us, isn't it? We love God. Why do we serve? We love God. Secondly, though, we love others. This is why we serve. Above all, verse 8, we're kind of working back through this passage as we look at why we serve. Verse 8, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. There's this sort of cheerfulness thing going on there, this depth, this authenticity. Now, it appears to be the church community in view. As he writes this, love one another, he's writing to Christians, love one another. But can you see the quality of that community as you read those words in the Bible? Deep, forgiving love and connection and delight in relationship. Can we lift our hospitality game as new people come to us? But among ourselves, we're a big enough church that there is a lack of knowledge about each other around beyond a few sets of relationships that are quite close. There's plenty of people who don't know each other very well in this room right now. There's an opportunity here. But as new people come to us, are we just friendly? We're definitely that as a church. But is that the same as truly welcoming and bringing people in to our lives and sharing that together? Don't miss the logic here, though. Because God loved us, we not only love God, but we also love others whom God also loves. Verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Faithful stewards. When we want this for many others as possible, as God has done for us, his love coming to us, coming to them, but to be faithful stewards in that. In this, God's people express in their serving God's grace. That's his type of love, isn't it? His style of love. Lavished upon us all, even though we don't deserve it. It's that love that comes through our serving. God's grace in its various forms. What might that look like? Well, so many things really, but what it can become by God's grace and power is the opportunity to be part of someone else's story. Many others' stories. In ways, perhaps mostly in ways, that we will not understand until we get to meet people in eternity to come who say, get your head around this, I'm here because you, and let's fill in this blank, I'm here because you prayed for me. I'm here because you listened to me at that time when I was really in need. I'm here because you shared with me something of Christ. And God brought me to him through that. I'm here because you cooked some food. I'm here because you turned up week after week after week after week. You were always there. And that so encouraged me. I'm here because you committed your time to me. You invested in me. God used your and all of those things again to save me. We become, as God does his amazing work in this world, persons of interest on a person's storyboard, their story wall. Because of the warm welcome they received, or the thoughtful coffee service, or the consistent modelling of faith through children's church, or real life sharing of faith at Cadets and Gems, or the time to go deeper at Connect Group, or the love at Little Squirts, or the whatever else. And we had an appreciation of all the things that go on, didn't we? Why do we serve? Because we love others. We love God. We love others. There's another one too, though. And it brings in the urgency. Verse 7, the start of our reading. Did you see it? The end of all things is near. Peter says to the Christians that he's writing to, the time is short. We don't know really how long is left, do we? We have some idea of how long we might have left in terms of our lifetimes. We don't really know. And yet we're told the time is short. As a basketball coach, I never cease to be amazed at how intense the late stages of a basketball game can become. As the final situation becomes clearer, it really sharpens, doesn't it, the sense of what needs to happen, what needs to be done now. And if we could actually remember that any single action early on in the game could be the difference at the end, well, that's the challenge, isn't it? I'm like, oh, come on, hey team, you know, what if we started every game the way we finished that game? With focus, with intensity, with urgency, a focus that, did you see here, includes prayer. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you may pray. For the follower of Jesus, for the church of Jesus, for God's people, we're reminded of why we serve. We love God, we love others, and the time is short. Now, I don't know about you, but I need that reminder. Don't you? I think we all need it. That's why, partly, we've got it in God's Word. So let's think about how we serve. Verse 10 again, second big point here of two. Actually, no, it's three, but the last one's tiny. How we serve. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. How we serve. Firstly, recognize God's gifts. Each of you, Peter says, each of you, straightforward, isn't it? Means we all have a part to play. Whatever gift we have, and that part is, should be used to serve others. For some, it's very clear what their gift is. For others, not so much. And gifts may change. And it might be you have many gifts, not just one. And it might look very different at different points of life. It might be that you grow into something and grow to love something that began merely with urgency. All of these are matters for prayer, right? As we've just seen. And much serving, I do want us to acknowledge this too, happens outside of giftedness anyway, doesn't it? And love takes us into that place. You're more than likely have a go if your love is big enough. But also it's worth asking this, isn't it? How was anyone ever found to be gifted in the first place? How did people come to be aware that someone was gifted? They had to try it sometime, didn't they? They had to have a go. They had to step out of their comfort zone. Or maybe they came back to something again after a long time. God, hilariously, I think, called me into pastoring after I remember clearly saying in my heart, if not out loud, you'll never catch me up at the front of church. That's on my story wall with a big line through it. Recognize God's gifts. And let's talk about this. Get excited about this. Recognize that more gifts can be revealed and received. Make this a matter for your prayers. Each of us, each of you. There's some opportunities you've heard about today. There's some needs, opportunities to be parts of other stories, to recognize God's gifts as we think about those. So, recognize his gifts, but more importantly, be God's gifts, right? He's looking for faithful stewards of his grace. There's a trustworthiness aspect in view. Faithful stewards of his grace in its various forms. That's his undeserved love to us, his grace coming through us, and whatever gifts he has given us are for that purpose, for extending God's grace to others. But he empowers those gifts as well, doesn't he? It's what we see here. It's all of God. Most noticeably, strength. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. You see products and they say powered by such and such. Well, service in the church is powered by It's not Red Bull or energy drinks. Coffee, that's important to a degree. It's not powering our service. God and His strength by His Spirit powers our service. Again, that draws us back to prayer, doesn't it? His strength is limitless. How's your strength in comparison? Ooh. That working Christians, we're told in God's word, is the mighty working of God's resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave. Whoa. Woo. I think He's got us covered, don't you? Let's ask Him to empower us and strengthen us for what we're doing. But we need to remember the why. Love for God. If we forget the why, we do it in our own strength. But if we remember the why of serving, we remember we're loving God, we're loving others, and the end of all things is near. And so with that in mind, let's recognize God's gifts and be God's gifts, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Third, very quick point. Will we serve? Who's up for this? Who's up for this? Fantastic. Each of you, each of us, use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards, not holding it for ourselves, being channels of God's grace, faithful stewards of God's grace in all its various forms. That picture that we saw at the start, what does it look like? It's full of service, isn't it? It's full of God taking efforts and magnifying them in the power of His Holy Spirit to be useful in eternity. That's how He rolls. That's what He has in view for His people. Will we take that on and seek and pray to be part of others' stories? To the glory, not our glory, to the glory of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity just again to reflect on what we've received from you. Would you please help us do a bit of an audit, a thinking through of all that we have, of all that we are, what you've given us in terms of opportunity, in terms of ability, in terms of competence. And Lord, grow underneath and around all of that our delight and desire and passion, urgent passion, for your name to be praised through us and in us. Lord, we don't want the glory, and Lord, please do not allow our enemy to come in and mess this up. We want you to be glorified. We want your love to be experienced. So please hear our prayer and glorify your name. Amen.